Hi, thanks for all coming out tonight. I appreciate it. I'm going to start off by asking you to raise your hands with some questions. How many of you eat dolphin-safe tuna? How many of you elect representatives with the ideas that they're going to make the laws for you? How many of you believe in openness, fairness, and democracy? And how many of you think that the WTO cares about what you believe in? What I'm going to do today is I'm going to tell you the story of the WTO and the sea turtles. So I'm going to start with a little bit of background on the sea turtles and then talk about what the WTO has done. All seven species of sea turtles have been listed as endangered, threatened, or vulnerable, either by the U.S. Endangered Species Act or international treaties. For example, the Kemp's Ridley sea turtle, 50 years ago, they recorded a nesting population of 40,000 at a single beach, and now the nesting population is down to 2,000. Now, there's a number of factors that have led to the decline of sea turtles, from industrial fishing practices to the harvesting of eggs and to the harvesting of adults as well, and the commercial development of nesting beaches. In 1990, the U.S. National Academy of Sciences concluded that shrimp trawling killed more sea turtles than all other human means combined. We took the same sort of methodology that the National Academy of Sciences used and concluded that every year 150,000 sea turtles get caught in shrimp nets worldwide. A simple, inexpensive device called a turtle excluder device can prevent the needless drowning of sea turtles. A turtle excluder device is basically like a barbecue grill. It costs about $75, and it's inserted in a shrimp net. Shrimp nets are large funnel-shaped nets that catch everything in their path. They're notorious for their bycatch, and bycatch is catching of species that are non-target. So, for example, when they're trying to catch shrimp, they catch flounder and all sorts of other fish as well. As part of the U.S. Endangered Species Act, the government requires U.S. shrimp fishermen to use turtle excluder devices on their nets. And a provision of the Endangered Species Act called the U.S. Turtle Shrimp Law required that all nations who wish to export their shrimp into the U.S. to have laws in place requiring the use of turtle excluder devices or other means that would achieve a comparable level of protection. As a result of this law, some 16 nations passed legislation requiring the use of turtle excluder devices. Another result of this law was that an international treaty has been negotiated for the protection of sea turtles. And while this may seem like an environmental success story, it ran into the WTO. In 1997, four nations challenged the U.S. turtle shrimp law at the WTO. And we became one of the first cases of an environmental species going up against the WTO. And it was a very interesting learning process for us all. We basically found out that the WTO does not care about openness. We could not participate in the meetings, even though we were the key force behind getting the law enforced internationally. Other expert sea turtle groups could not participate in the meetings. They were held behind closed doors. We also found that the WTO did not care about science. We organized a statement from 250 scientists from more than 30 nations arguing to the WTO that they should not put commerce before conservation. The WTO did not listen to them. The WTO assembled a panel of scientific experts to answer some basic questions about sea turtles. The panel concluded sea turtles, yes, are endangered, and that turtle excluder devices help prevent them from drowning. Needless to say, the WTO ruled against the U.S. law. And so when we're looking at the WTO, you know, a lot of times what we're talking about, it seems like it's just acronyms and sort of fear of what it can do. And what I want to talk about a little is what the real-world consequences of the WTO were in relation to sea turtles. Because the WTO ruled against the U.S. law, it created pressure for the State Department to basically come into compliance with the WTO ruling. And the way the the State Department sought to do this was by weakening the U.S. standards for how shrimp is exported. Previously, we had a standard that was called the nation-by-nation standard, which is basically, as the U.S. law states, that nations have to have laws in place. The State Department sought to allow the shrimp to come in on what it called a shipment-by-shipment standard. And this means that individual shipments of shrimp could come in from vessels that are using turtle excluder devices. On the face of this, this sounds like, well, maybe this is fair to the shrimpers, but it doesn't make any ecological sense. If you have half of your fleets using turtle excluder devices and half of your fleets not using turtle excluder devices, you basically end up drowning a huge number of sea turtles. It doesn't come to the comparability level of 97%, which is basically how many sea turtles will survive if you have a turtle excluder device on all your shrimp nets. In addition, the other real-world consequence is the consequence not only in the change in the U.S., the weakening of the U.S. law, but also in terms of dead sea turtles. India is one of the nations that challenged the law. They have not yet put a turtle excluder device law in place. This past year, 13,000 dead sea turtles washed up on India's beaches. And this is probably actually only a small fragment of the number of sea turtles who are actually dying in India. It's probably closer to 50,000. What the WTO has done, in essence, is enabled other nations to have a legitimacy to not increase their environmental protections. It's also then pressured the U.S. to lower our environmental protection standards to sort of the lowest common denominator, that which is acceptable through trade. And there's been a similar situation with dolphin-safe tuna. Dolphin-safe tuna came about because of a widespread consumer boycott and public uprising over the methods in which tuna was caught because it was harmful to dolphins. Same thing happened here. This was actually before the WTO. It was through the GATT, before the WTO got formalized. And they've basically ruled again against the U.S. law. And again, the State Department sought to appease them, basically the free trade people, by weakening the law. And now what we're having is a gutting again of the dolphin-safe tuna law. So we're seeing real-world consequences with the WTO. It's not about sort of vague threats about what may happen. We're seeing it in our public policy arenas. We're seeing weakening of U.S. laws. And then we're seeing severe environmental impacts. And I think when we look at trade, we need to look at it beyond the WTO. We need to be looking at what other potential scenarios would be in terms of how to do fair trade. And I think we also need to take a step back and look at consumption in society. Do we need to have the lowest priced shrimp that comes from another country? What are the impacts in other countries when we do that? For example, in India, where one of the nations that has made the challenge at the WTO, while their per capita protein consumption is declining, their exports of protein are rising. So basically what they're doing is they're selling off their future by selling off their protein. The trawlers also in these countries deplete local resources. Industrial fishing is basically geared towards an export economy. And so when you have mechanized trawlers coming in and taking all the fish, it doesn't leave anything for traditional fishermen. And there's actually been incidents of violence in India as there's been conflicts between traditional fisher people and the mechanized trawlers. And I think another thing that's really important to talk about when we're talking about the WTO and how to respond to it is the concept that we can question existing structures and existing sort of mega technologies that we have in society. As we're seeing more and more now, people are talking about decommissioning dams. We shouldn't be afraid when we're talking about the WTO, about talking about basically decommissioning the WTO. As we've seen with the IMF and the World Bank, we can try to reform them, but they're still there. They're still causing the underlying problems they are. So what I'm urging you is that we all need to kind of strengthen our position and not just call for reforming the WTO, but calling for the U.S. to get out of the WTO. Thank you.
We invite you to join with other concerned members of civil society in their demonstrations against the World Trade Organization in Seattle from November 29th to December 3rd. People from all across America and around the world are coming to Seattle to oppose the anti-democratic WTO during its secret closed-door trade negotiations. For more information on the demonstrations, talks, and workshops held by civil society during the WTO negotiations, please call 1-877-STOP-WTO or visit the websites www.peopleforfairtrade.org and www.seattlewto.org.